Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
My name's Gary Parish, speaking to you from 54th and Broadway, New York City. Bennett Doyle back in Memphis producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can. And I hope you like your golf tournaments filled with drama, because we got one yesterday out at TPC Southwind. Will Zalatoris on the third hole of a sudden death playoff wins on the PGA Tour for the first time, thanks to a lot of things, but in part, a ball bouncing on some rocks and then settling on some rocks instead of where that ball usually settles, which is at the bottom of a body of water. Wild scene as the FedEx St. Jude Championship came to a close yesterday. We'll talk about it momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 420, Jason Sobel going to join me. Covers golf for the Action Network. Also a host on SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio. He was in Memphis for the FedEx St. Jude Championship. I'll talk to him about it in the next segment. When I finish that, take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point we will discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, looks like we're getting, whoo boy, Grizzlies Warriors on Christmas Day. That's awesome. Talk about that around 4:44. Penny Hardaway added another front court piece this weekend. I'll tell you about him a little later on this hour. Jacob DeGrom made more history this weekend, which he tends to do basically every time he pitches. I'll provide the numbers for you just before 5 o'clock, and rest in peace. Anne Hayes, troubled actress, died yesterday at the age of 53, 9 days after she crashed her car into a house. Interesting interview I saw with what appears to be the last person to talk to her just before the crash. I'll tell you how that guy described her during four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, usually Jeff Calkins. Not today, not this week. He's in Switzerland, so he's going to be away in that spot today. I'll talk to the Commercial Appeal's DeMichael Cole. He, of course, covers the Grizzlies and was also out at the FedEx St. Jude Championship this weekend. So plenty of stuff to talk to DeMichael Cole about. He'll be here at 5 o'clock. Then I'll eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with the FedEx St. Jude Championship. What a weekend out at TPC Southwind. You know, I was in New York last Thursday and Friday, so I wasn't able to go to the first round of the second round. Flew home Friday night, then I flew back up here yesterday. I wasn't home very long, but, you know, flying home for at least a day allowed me to take the family out to the tournament on Saturday. And just like always, we had a great time. Shouts to everybody who, you know, took the time to say hello. It's always fun getting out there and getting out anywhere and meeting people who are nice enough to spend a couple of hours with us on the radio every afternoon. And also, you know, special shouts to Andy Tyser and Michael Hudman of Andrew Michael For making birdies and bubbles, just an awesome place to hang out. We spent a lot of our day over there between 14 and 16. Had a blast. It's always good to see those guys. And special shouts to Tyler Pattett and Matthew Young with ServiceMaster by Cornerstone for also, you know, hosting us in their suite at the 17th Green. ServiceMaster by Cornerstone had an incredible setup. We sat there, watched Cam Smith, Tony Finau, most of the late Saturday groups come through. Just a really fun Saturday, which, you know, led to a wild finish on Sunday, complete with a playoff and some wacky situations. Big Ben Bennett, did you carve out some time to watch the FedEx St. Jude Championship yesterday afternoon? Did you see this crazy playoff?
Yeah, for sure. And like, even for, like, we talked about it, like, for a casual golf fan like me, that was some great television yesterday. Like, some of the best I've ever seen in golf, I think, of recent memory.
Incredible television. Like, the last hour of that broadcast was just bananas. So let's back up to how we got to that point, because we were only in a playoff thanks to Will Zalatoris making a 10-foot par putt on 18 in regulation to lock in at 15 under. Big emotion there because of his history of not making big putts. Most famously, he missed one on 18 in the final round of the U.S. Open that would have put him into a playoff with Matt Fitzpatrick. And that missed putt caused Zalatoris to finish second in a major for the third time in the past 2 years. He finished second at the 2021 Masters to Hideki Matsuyama, second at the 2022 PGA Championship to Justin Thomas, and then second again at the 2022 U.S. Open to Matthew Fitzpatrick. 25 years old, Rookie of the Year on the PGA Tour last year, three top two finishes in majors, but before yesterday, Will Zalatoris had still never won on the PGA Tour, in part because of that putter. You know, after the missed putt on 18 at the U.S. Open, you know, he was obviously frustrated. And he more or less said, you know, it's frustrating because I'm practically three shots away from being a three-time major champion at the age of 25. Instead, still looking for my PGA Tour first win. And about that putt specifically on 18 at the U.S. Open, in response to him getting mocked on social media for a shaky stroke, especially on short putts, you know, Zalatoris said, quote, "I'm sure all the Instagram morons are going to say it has something to do with my left wrist flexion coming down, but I promise you it's got nothing to do with it. This one stings for sure, but I know we're going to get this." And yesterday, he got it. He sank that 10-foot par putt in regulation on 18, and then he yelled, you've probably seen it by now, "What are they going to say now?" It was just an awesome golf moment, and it is what led us into this playoff. And we get a playoff between Will Zalatoris and Sepp Straka. Sudden death, first hole's 18. That doesn't decide it, so they have to play 18 again. And Zalatoris is in trouble off the tee, nearly out of bounds in somebody's backyard. It's so crazy that these guys can even hit it that far. Cam Smith did it last year in the final round. Zalatoris this year on the second playoff hole. Like, if you go out to TPC Southwind and watch, just sit out there and watch the members, you know, tee off at 18 and not as far back as the tour players are playing it, you won't ever, or rarely, you'll see somebody get up that far past those bunkers approaching the backyards of those houses. But that's where Will Zalatoris found himself yesterday. Now, last year when it happened to Cam Smith, he still tried to go for the green from there. Bad decision. Hit a tree, tournament over. This year, Zalatoris played it smarter. He just put it back out in the fairway, and then he got his third to 14 feet and then made another huge putt to force that third playoff hole. And that's when things got super duper silly. Zalatoris, he had the tee box for the third playoff hole, which was now the par 3 11th with the island green. Famous hole. Pins tucked way to the right, and Zalatoris takes an aggressive line and bounced it on the rocks. And it just bounced and bounced and bounced and sat there, eventually nudged between a rock and the grass. Crazy scene. Like, I've hit those rocks dozens of times. Never been so fortunate. Mine always bounce right into the water. This dude bounced it all over the rocks, and the ball somehow stayed up. It was just incredible. I've literally never seen that before on that hole, and I've seen basically everything on that hole. It's a wild situation. So now Sepp Straka is on the tee, and I have no idea what this guy was doing because he also took an aggressive line. Now, at this point, if you're Sepp Straka, you have to know, I think, that a three won't get you beat, and it actually might win the tournament. So just put it in the middle of what is, relatively speaking, a pretty big green and try to make a long putt for birdie. If you make it, get your trophy. If not, tap in for par, and you still might win the hole. But this dude took more or less the same lines Alatoris took and put it in the water. So Straka's now in the drop zone hitting three. Zalatoris still up there trying to figure out what he's going to do. He puts his third shot in the bunker, at which point Zalatoris knows he doesn't have to try this ridiculous shot off the rocks. Like, if Straka just puts it anywhere on that green and is lying one, Zalatoris probably has to try, for better or worse, that ridiculous shot off the rocks. In fact, definitely has to try, for better or worse, that ridiculous shot off the rocks. But with Straka lying four, putting five, Zalatoris knows he can go to the drop zone and try to get up and down for the win, which is exactly what he did. Takes the penalty, goes to the drop zone, sticks it to 7 feet, makes another big putt, gets his first PGA Tour victory with a bogey four on 11. Let me ask you this, and I recognize you're not a golfer, but you were watching it on TV and you saw what it looked like. What do you think happens if Straka's on the green with a birdie putt from literally anywhere and Zalatoris knows that he can't afford to take the drop now? He's got to try to play this ball off the rocks. What do you think happens if he plays the ball off the rocks?
I think his club just hits the rocks.
I think the ball might end up going back into the water.
Yeah, and that too. I think so too. I just didn't see how, especially with, like, you know, how high the grass, I know that we're getting really into it, but like how high the grass was with the dirt underneath it. Like, I was like, I just don't see how he's going to get the ball out of there.
Right.
Right.
Because, I mean, it was, and you heard his caddy say, there's too many unknowns here. Like, and it's fascinating because think of all the rounds Will Zalatoris has played golf in his life, like thousands and thousands and thousands, how many shots he's hit from all over all sorts of courses all over the world. And suddenly, yesterday afternoon, with a tournament on the line, he is sitting with a lie that he's never seen before. Like, most golfers, wherever the ball is, like tour-level golfers, wherever the ball is, whatever they're looking at, like, they know what they can do, what they need to do, and what will happen if they do this thing. Zalatoris looked at that ball, nudged in there between the stones and that grass, and he was like, I don't know what's going to happen. If I play this ball, I don't know what's going to happen. Am I just going to leave it here? Is it actually going to hit that grass and go back into the water? You know, is it going to fly on me? Like, a professional golfer, one of the best in the world, is looking at this and saying, I don't know what it's going to do. And if Straka is anywhere on that green with his tee shot, then Zalatoris has got to play it. Because then you know that Straka can two-putt for par. And if you go back to the drop zone, you're hitting three. You're going to try to hole it out to force another play out? No, you just got to play, you know, from the rocks. And so for Straka not to put that tee shot on the green was a massive, massive mistake, because it took, for the most part, the decision-making away from Will Zalatoris. At that point, he knows that the smart and easier thing to do is just go to the drop zone, try to get up and down for the win, and that is exactly what he did. Bottom line, just a great week out at TPC Southwind with an incredible ending and a worthy champion. Like, no offense to Sepp Straka, but we didn't need Sepp Straka winning this tournament. He had been terrible heading into the FedEx St. Jude Championship. He had missed the cut in six straight tournaments. He would have been a totally forgettable winner. But Will Zalatoris is a legit star with a bright future. And his first PGA Tour win will always be the FedEx St. Jude Championship. That's good for him. And I think that's also good for us. Longtime golf writer Jason Sobel was in Memphis for the FedEx St. Jude Championship. I'm going to talk to him about it next. You're listening. Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Run. Here come the menaces to sobriety, like what? Super thug is thumping on a cut.
It appears the Grizzlies are going to play on Christmas Day for the first time in franchise history. Grizz at Warriors, 12:25. That's the report. We'll get into that in the next segment. Jeff Calkins would usually be here a little after 5 o'clock. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, he's in Switzerland this week, so we'll do something else there. But right now, he covers golf for the Action Network, also a host on SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio. It's Jason Sobel making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show, Big Interview on 92.9 FM ESPN.
So, Jason, I know you were in Memphis for part of the FedEx St. Jude Championship. Watch the final round on television like the rest of us. I know there's no way to know for sure, but what do you think is the most likely outcome if Will Zalatoris has to play that ball off the rocks?
That's a great question. Thanks for having me on, Gary. Look, he looked at that for a long time, and I wonder if there was some gamesmanship there. Essentially, Sepp Straka, who's maybe the fastest player on the PGA Tour. We like fast players. I wonder if he almost played it too fast. Sepp Straka, while Will Zalatoris was still kind of going over it and looking at it, trying to figure it out, Sepp Straka went back to the drop zone. He hit one, flew the green, went into the back bunker. Then Will said, oh, okay, you know what? I'm going to go hit some over there, too, because he knew he could hit one tighter. If he had to hit it, I honestly think if he doesn't get a good little piece of that ball, it looks like it's going to bounce off the rough right there and go back into the water. That would have been devastating.
How big of a mistake was it, and I guess it goes without saying, that Sepp Straka put his tee shot in the water on 11 after Will was caught on the rocks? Because, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm fairly certain if he lands that ball anywhere on that green, Will almost is forced to play from the rocks, because you've got to assume at worst Sepp Straka is going to two-putt par. How big of a mistake was that? And do you think he was actually taking that line, or he just pushed it that way?
It's a massive mistake. No, I can't imagine that he was going after the pin and trying to be aggressive at that point. I think what it shows is that it's so different to kind of flip the switch in your mind, because these guys, remember, they've been playing 4 days, 72 holes of stroke play. It's essentially, hey, I have to go out and shoot the best score I possibly can. All of a sudden, you get into a playoff, and Will Zalatoris has been in a few playoffs. Sepp Straka, I don't believe, has been in a PGA Tour playoff in the past. All of a sudden, in your mind, it has to go from stroke play to match play. It's not, what's the best score can I make on this hole? It's, how can I just beat the guy on the other side of the tee box? How can I make a better score than him? Once Zalatoris sees his ball on the rocks like that, I don't know, it might have been tough for Straka to see exactly where it was. Maybe he thought it was just kind of on the fringe and said, okay, well, he's not that far from the hole. Maybe he can get a club on it there, so I've got to get after this because he's going to make par. Maybe he didn't realize exactly where it was when he was there. But yes, to answer the question, he absolutely has to put that just somewhere on the green, even if it's 40 feet away. Give yourself a look so you can two-putt for a par, and at the very worst, move on to the next hole and continue. He was way too aggressive there, but again, I don't know. You know what? If he hits one that stays a couple yards left and gets up and goes right at the stick, we're sitting here right now talking about, man, Sepp Straka, he's got some guts. He went for it in the playoffs. That's the kind of golfer we love to root for. So I have trouble criticizing him too much for being aggressive there, if indeed that was his motivation.
Golf is just a matter of inches sometimes, and it certainly was the case for Sepp Straka on 11, the third playoff hole. Backing up to 18 in regulation, Will Zalatoris has a 10-foot putt left to right to lock in 15 under, which wasn't necessarily going to guarantee the playoff, but it certainly led to the playoff. He made it and then showed more emotion than he's probably ever shown, literally screaming, what are they going to say now? What did you make of that moment?
Boy, how about just in the moment, Will Zalatoris not thinking about how can I get this ball in the cup, but thinking about how can I let everyone know about it? How can I tell everyone when this ball goes in the cup, how can I tell everyone what I thought about them criticizing my putting stroke over the last 2 years? Look, he's not the greatest putter on the PGA Tour, but from that range, from that 10 to 15 foot range, he's actually been very good. And he's putted very well in some of the bigger events. He tends to putt better in relation to the field in the major championships, and now in his first career playoff event, putted very well last week. And so, look, if that's what motivates him, having a little chip on his shoulder and hearing from people that, you know, he's got a terrible putting stroke and he can't make anything, if that's what fuels him and motivates him to actually go out there and make some, go ahead and use it. All athletes try to use something, some sort of chip. You know, look, the New England Patriots, when they had Tom Brady, were sitting there in the locker room going, nobody thinks we can do this. And, of course, everyone thought they could do it. That wasn't true. And that goes, you hear that from championship teams all the time. I don't know how many people really thought that Will Zalatoris couldn't make a 10-footer in crunch time when it mattered. He nearly did it on the final green at Brookline for the U.S. Open a couple of months ago. He did it, got it done this time. If he wants to use all those sort of catcalls as motivation, if he wants to use that criticism, more power to him. If that's the case, I hope he hears even more criticism after this and uses it as more motivation moving forward, because he's going to have big putts and he's going to have to make some more of those to win some more big events in the future.
On your point about champions, you know, pretending that nobody believed they could do something, my favorite example is I'm covering the 2009 Final Four. North Carolina wins the national championship, and Tyler Hansbrough is like, nobody believed we could do this. And I'm like, dude, you were ranked preseason number one. What do you ever? Literally everybody thought you could do this. What are you talking about? But that seems to be there's a pattern of that throughout sports. I'm talking to Jason Sobel from the Action Network on Twitter, at Jason Sobel, T-A-N. Cam Smith was a big story. Obviously in contention just days after it being reported that he's headed to LIV Golf. And then, you know, early Sunday, I guess he's hit with a two-shot penalty because he dropped into a hazard area and played the ball from a place that is quite clearly not allowed according to the rules. I know that, you know that, but as you wrote at actionnetwork.com, it still didn't feel right. And given that this guy is maybe headed to the LIV Tour, that just adds another element to the whole story.
What an unbelievable week it was for Cam Smith. I mean, could there be more headlines about one guy who didn't win a golf tournament? And yet, boy, it just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. First of all, I feel like, if not golf as a whole, the rules of golf, at least the PGA Tour, needs a better statute of limitations. I don't like the idea that just because a rules official happened to be watching the re-air of the telecast on Saturday night and saw this violation, all of a sudden he gets docked two shots for a penalty. We're not arguing that it shouldn't have been a penalty, but we're arguing just kind of like, hey, what if someone else committed that same violation, but the rules official got up to run to the bathroom real quick and missed it on TV, and so he didn't see that one. I mean, it's just it doesn't feel like proper enforcement, like an equal enforcement. First of all, it needs to be a better statute of limitations. I don't think they should be able to come back to a guy as he's warming up for the next round the following day and tell him that he's going to be penalized two strokes. I don't like anything about that. I don't know whether it's when a player signs his scorecard after that round, whether it's 2 hours later, when the clock strikes midnight, whatever it might be, we need a better statute of limitations on these things. And then, of course, there's all the conspiracy theorists out there, Gary, because, as you mentioned, Cam Smith rumored going to LIV Golf in a couple of weeks. And so a lot of people out there are like, well, this is the PGA Tour. They just wanted to go get him. It wasn't Zalatoris, wasn't Straka, wasn't anybody else. They did this to Cam Smith, the one guy who's rumored to be leaving soon. They don't want him to win. Quite honestly, if I was the PGA Tour, I would have done everything in my power to not dock him two strokes and not have the bad optics of this. I think it was a terrible look for a tour that's made some very bad PR mistakes over the last 6 months. I would have said, look, live and let live, let bygones be bygones. Okay, maybe it should have been a penalty. He didn't get an advantage over the field. He wasn't cheating. Let's not take the loss on this. And instead, they went and did it. And they went and did it to a guy, again, who's leaving for the rival tour or is reportedly leaving for the rival tour soon. I just thought the optics on everything were terrible. Quite honestly, if I was someone at PGA Tour headquarters, I would not be happy right now at the fact that we did this the day after and got such a bad look. It's just, again, another in a series of bad looks for the PGA Tour on this stuff.
I'm with you 100% on this because, and I'm not suggesting this is true, but like, what if he is actually still unsure of exactly what he's going to do, hasn't signed anything? This could be the type of thing that pushes him that direction, that says, oh, if they're going to do that to me, then I'm definitely going to live golf. It just seemed like nobody would have complained if they would have done nothing, and yet they created this, which, you know, so often they do. I'm talking to Jason Sobel from the Action Network. And then Cam today pulls out of the BMW Championship, got a lingering hip issue. That is what his agent said. Do we think this is connected at all to the two-shot penalty, or these are separate things that happened?
I don't know. I mean, apparently he's been dealing with this for a while. I know my buddy Evan Priest, who writes for some of the Australian publications, he reported that, yeah, it's true. He spoke with his trainer, and he's been going through some hip injuries for a while. My guess is we're going into the 48th of 49 events on the PGA Tour schedule this coming week. Every single player out there is dealing with something. You don't play that much golf over the last 12 months and feel 100% perfectly healthy going into this event. That said, is it, you know, hey, is this in defiance of getting that ruling against him yesterday? Is it have something to do with him going to live? Does he think that he was penalized because he's going to live? I don't know. He didn't speak with the media after the round yesterday, and so I don't know exactly what to think and what he's thinking right now, but boy, again, it's just there's a lot of things swirling. I mean, this is a guy who won the 150th Open Championship. I said, Gary, last month, the greatest celebration in the history of the game, the oldest golf tournament in the world at the most revered golf course, St. Andrews, won by Cam Smith. And a month later, we're talking about live, we're talking about rulings, we're talking about injuries, we're talking about withdrawals, just all this other stuff swirling around him right now.
You know, I walked with him for a little while on Saturday, and I heard him getting, you know, heckled by obviously fans of the PGA Tour who don't want him going to live. And I had never really experienced that. I know that this stuff happens at the Ryder Cup, but I had never seen a PGA Tour player on the PGA Tour get heckled as – it wasn't relentless, but it was noticeable. You know, how rare is it for something like that to happen to a tour player in a tour event?
It's really rare. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was out there at the U.S. Open, which was the first – major championship that Phil Mickelson played after joining LIV. And I was walking with Phil, and the fans in Boston were like, hey, Phil, we love you. Go get him this week, Phil. It was like nothing had ever changed. And so, yeah, we might hear people yelling mashed potatoes or you the man or whatever they yell that we hear on TV all the time. But heckling doesn't really exist that much in golf, or at least it hasn't until the last couple of years. Patrick Reed, who certainly some people out there aren't big fans of, he was getting some of it. I remember he had a putt to win at Kapalua a couple of years ago. And I mean, if someone's yelling at you at Kapalua, you know you've done something wrong. There's only a handful of fans that get out to Maui every year and they're on the golf course. And then, they're going to start yelling at these live guys a little bit. I was wondering if that would really happen on the weekend. I know the fans were great out there. There were a lot of people out there. Look, I have no problem. If you do it in the player's backswing, that's not right. I don't think you should do it. If the guy's walking down the fairway and you want to tell him how you feel, look, you paid for your ticket. I got no problem with it.
Well, I'm wrapping up here with Jason Sobel from the Action Network. Last thing before I let you go, and I appreciate your time. Obviously, this whole PGA Tour Live Golf thing is going to be settled in the courts someday. Last week was a victory for the PGA Tour. Do you have a best guess for what all of this looks like in 5 years? Are they two rival leagues competing with each other, or can you ever see these two entities actually cooperating?
You know, it's funny, Gary. For whatever reason, we keep going to 5 years, and trust me, it's a great question. I've heard the question a lot. We keep going to 5 years. What do you see 5 years down the line? My answer to this is always, I don't know what's going to happen in 5 minutes. I feel bad walking away from my laptop and not looking at Twitter because the news cycle on this thing keeps changing so quickly, like all the time. We're like, oh, I think this. And then a minute later, you're like, oh, well, they just ruled the opposite of that. Okay, well, I guess I think this now. So things are changing so quickly. There's nothing defined. I mean, quite honestly, 5 years from now, there might not be a Liv. We might be back to business the way it was. 5 years from now, Liv could be the predominant tour over the PGA Tour. 5 years from now, we could have a Ryder Cup that's PGA Tour players against Liv players. I have absolutely no idea which one of those is more likely than the other. It's a great unknown right now. It's been the most polarizing topic that I've covered in my close to 20 years covering the PGA Tour, and I can't wait to find out. I mean, it makes things interesting. It's been a weird year. It's been a busy year in golf, and yet I don't think anything's going to stop anytime soon, and I expect more of it to come. So my long-winded answer, shortened for you, is I have absolutely no idea, and I wish I did, Gary.
I appreciate the honesty, because that's probably the only honest answer that exists. And that was Jason Sobel from the Action Network. Make sure you read him at actionnetwork.com. If you're not a subscriber, you should be. I am. He's on Twitter, at Jason Sobel, T-A-N. You can also hear him on SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio. Thanks so much for your time, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right. That's Jason Sobel from the Action Network. No, so on Saturday, we were out there at the Birdies and Bubbles hanging out for much of the day. But then we were going to walk to the Service Master by Cornerstone suite at the 17th Green. And we happened to just start walking with Cam Smith's group and saw Mark Giannotto out there inside the ropes. And, you know, Cam Smith's one of the most talked about biggest stars on tour right now.
Sure.
Because he just won the Open, and because he's, you know, reportedly going to live for more than $100 million. So I was like, you know, I always like to point out to my sons, you know, they don't follow golf too closely, you know, if at all. And so they have no context for who's who, you know, to my sons. It's just like there's a golfer, and there's another golfer, and there's another golfer, and they don't really know Roy McIlroy from Sepp Straka. Mm-hmm. So – you know, I'm talking to my oldest son, and I'm like, this guy here, right here, he is the second-ranked golfer in the entire world right now. And, you know, just won the most recent major championship. So, like, you know, that's who you're looking at right now. And so we're walking with Cam Smith up, I want to say, 16 fairway. And there were people actually heckling him, like, about Liv, about his mustache. Nothing too over the line, I guess, although it just felt out of place at a golf tournament because you don't hear that type of stuff in golf. Even amongst friends when you're playing, like the etiquette is that you don't vocally root against people. You know, it's not like a basketball game where you cheer when somebody misses a shot. That happens at the Ryder Cup. But mostly, like in the majors and on tour, like you cheer for good shots and you know, stay quiet for bad shots. But you don't applaud or cheer enthusiastically bad shots, at least like not normally. Although when Sepp Straka, this was funny, on 18 yesterday, because I think you could probably pick this up on TV. People wanted Will Zalatoris to win that tournament yesterday.
Oh, I mean, it was crystal clear on TV, yeah.
Right. I mean, Will Zalatoris is a star, and Sepp Straka is just a guy. And, you know, if you want to take it a step farther, you know, Sepp Straka is not American. Will Zalatoris is American. Zalatoris has got a chance to be, I don't want to overstate it, but, like, you know, he's going to win majors, I would assume. And Sepp Straka probably isn't. So the crowd was rooting for Will Zalatoris, but they weren't actively rooting against Sepp Straka, at least not vocally, except for there's this one moment, if you can find the replay. It actually, because I went back and watched this late last night. Like, I sort of, you know, got settled here in the hotel, and then the night was over. And I said, I'm going to go back and watch the playoff again just to, you know, because that was fun. And when Straka, you know, hits a putt on 18, somebody yells, you know, like the normal golf thing is, get in the hole. Instead, somebody yelled, go in the water.
Damn.
they wanted Sepp Straka to put it into the water.
I was kind of rooting for Sepp. I felt bad for him.
He's just a nothing golfer. You know, I mean, listen. He's
I was rooting for him.
Why?
Because he's kind of thick.
He's thick.
Well, he seemed just like a, you know, everyday dude.
Yeah,
I respect that. I relate to him.
He's just a big old guy, you know?
Yeah.
And Will Zalatoris, you know, he don't weigh 120 pounds. But Sepp Straka, yeah, he's a big guy. And so that was one – but that wasn't heckling as much as I thought. It was just funny. You know, it was, somebody was just yelling, get in the water instead of getting the hole. But, like, they were actually heckling Cam Smith. And, again, nothing that would have made me go, yo, you, that person needs to get kicked out. But something that I did notice as unusual. And it's quite clearly tied to him heading to LIV Golf, reportedly. Because – otherwise, like, he would be one of the most popular guys out there. You know, he's got the long hair. He just won a major. He's awesome. Like, he's awesome. You know, if he didn't get that two-stroke penalty yesterday, I genuinely think he would have been in contention right there at the end. Like, there was a scenario where we could have had a, you know, Cam Smith, Will Zalatoris showdown. But that was almost ruled out the second that Cam got that two-shot penalty before the start of the fourth round. But it's you know, that's going to be something that will probably trickle into the BMW championship if there's another report about another golfer reportedly set to leave for LIV after the FedEx Cup playoffs, because that's how Cam found himself in this situation, you know, on the you know, day, just days before he's getting ready to tee it up in Memphis. There's a mainstream media report that says he's going to LIV. Right now, there have been no other reports connected to guys still playing on the PGA Tour. But, like, one could drop on Wednesday that somebody getting ready to compete in Delaware is about to join LIV as soon as it's over. Or it could happen before the Tour Championship. And then it's like you're just winding down your PGA Tour career, trying to get as much of the PGA Tour's money before you head off to LIV. And you know, that changes the way people perceive you on a golf course. It certainly did with Cam Smith. But either way, just an awesome week out there, and I appreciate Jason Sobel being here to talk about it with me. We come back, turn our attention to the NBA. Looks like we're going to get Grizzlies-Warriors on Christmas Day. First Christmas Day game in franchise history. We'll get into that next. You're listening. Gary Parrish Show, we're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now okay, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
You stab me in my back again. You the type to play the joke and try to hide your hand. Not the type to come around and try to play your friend. You the type to cut the grass and snake your best man. I'm the type to close the deal and cut my... Send me in person, I look like a ghost. Send me in person, I look like a ghost. Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat? Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat? Goat body. Are you rap? Sound like me. Can't tell who is who. You can know real identity. Can't tell you.
Are you looking for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, life insurance, or business insurance? If so, get in touch with Elizabeth Rook Insurance. That's a second generation local agency that's been owned and operated since 1981. If you live in Tennessee or Mississippi, Elizabeth can help you. She's a proud partner with Memphis Tigers Athletics. So if you want to support a local agency that supports the local athletic department, then Elizabeth Rook Insurance is the agency for you. Let's talk about life insurance for a moment. Do you have a great policy? If not, you need one. Very important, because you wouldn't want something to happen to you unexpectedly. And then, especially if you're the primary provider for your loved ones, you've just left your loved ones emotionally devastated, perhaps also financially devastated. That's what life insurance policies are for, to avoid that type of nightmare. But unfortunately, families in this country every day experience that nightmare. In many cases, though, they don't have to. It's avoidable because it's affordable for most. You can probably get a great life insurance policy for significantly less money per month than you realize. So if you need one, get in touch with Elizabeth Rook. Got two locations in the Memphis area, one in Lakeland on Canada Road, one in Covington on Highway 51. You can reach them at 901-867-SAVE, 901-867-7283. It's Elizabeth Rook Insurance on the web, rookinsurance.com. I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four notable stories at 444. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 444. Story number one.
Merry Christmas, Big Bet Bennett. Looks like we're going to be watching the Grizzlies and Warriors on the night of the 25th.
How about that?
How about that?
I'm excited. I'm very happy about this.
It actually is a big deal for the franchise.
Huge deal, yeah.
I just pre-taped Time to Shine about 45 minutes before the radio show started, and one of the topics that we discussed, I believe in the A block, was the Christmas Day schedule that had been announced, and my colleague Evan Washburn asked me if there's any game that stood out, and I went right to Grizzlies and Warriors, and I explained to him that, the Sixers are playing on Christmas, or the Celtics are playing on Christmas, or the Lakers are playing on Christmas, like whatever. It doesn't mean anything to those fan bases, really, or those franchises, because it's they do it every year. It's not unusual at this point. But this is a big stage for the Grizzlies to be placed on. They never played on Christmas before. They've had good teams. They've had good players. But have never been invited, and rightfully so, by the way. I'm not complaining. I'm not saying I can't believe the Grizzlies have never been on Christmas. It's very easy for me to understand why the Grizzlies have never been on Christmas Day before. But I thought because of the way they played the Warriors, because of the stardom of Ja Morant, because of the back and forth on social media between Ja Morant and Draymond Green, and then Klay Thompson mentioning the Jaren Jackson Jr. tweet after the Warriors won another championship. All of that made it very likely that we would get Grizz Warriors on Christmas Day, and the report came over the weekend that we absolutely are. And what it's not just Grizz Warriors are one of five games on Christmas Day. Like, if you go read the headline at The Athletic, here's what it says. NBA Christmas Day 2022 headlined by Warriors versus Grizzlies.
Love it. Yeah, it's just another one of those kind of, check marks that you make of we have arrived, right? Like, it really does feel like it,
And who could have thought this a couple of years ago? 2022 Christmas Day schedule. And by the way, if you haven't seen it, it's Bucks at Celtics, Sixers at Knicks, Suns at Nuggets, Lakers at Mavericks, Grizzlies at Warriors. Brooklyn, not in there. Memphis in there. Who would have ever thought that 2 years ago?
No one.
But I'm assuming the NBA, they just don't trust that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are going to be on that team.
And you can't risk that.
You can't risk having Brooklyn there
with nobody.
With nobody on the team. Yeah. And so you just leave them out and you go with Bucks, Celtics, Sixers, Knicks, Suns, Nuggets, Lakers, Mavericks, Grizzlies, Warriors. But a big moment for that franchise. I know the fan base has wanted stuff like this for a long time. And I think this is just the first bit of news that is going to make us realize like that time has arrived. The Grizzlies are going to play on Christmas for the first time. And like I've said before, and this isn't unique to me, I think everybody understands this, the Grizzlies are probably going to have more true national television games in this upcoming season than they've ever had in franchise history.
I think, and I'm assuming we're going to probably get the schedule this week. I would think it's going to, since those are already leaking out, I would think the schedule is going to drop really soon.
Yeah, I think that is what I read over the weekend, is that all of this will be formally announced at some point in this week. And whenever that schedule is released, I bet you'll see more TNT, ABC, and ESPN games than you've ever seen on a Grizzlies schedule.
Story number two.
Penny Hardaway added another piece this week and secured a commitment from Jamar Young Jr., a 6'9 front court player who has spent the past 3 years at SMU and done basically nothing.
Oh, damn.
he doesn't appear to be an impactful basketball player. Last season, he averaged 7.2 minutes per game, 2 points, and 1.7 rebounds. again in that 7.2 minutes per game. So, listen, as we've seen with Memphis seasons, you never know, you know, from a COVID perspective, what's going to happen. From an injury perspective, what's going to happen. You had a player leave, go back home to Michigan last season in the middle of the season. So, you know, I guess having as many insurance pieces as you can have, given that, you know, they've got open scholarships, you know, makes it sensible. Maybe he's just best buds with Kendrick Davis. And, like, Kendrick Davis is like, yeah, that's my boy.
Go get my guy, yeah.
Yeah, that's my boy. Why don't you bring my boy here? And it's like, fine, we got a scholarship. Why not? Whatever the motivation here, it's a headline, I guess. But I guess I'd put it this way. If we look up in February and Jamar Young Jr. is playing meaningful minutes for Memphis, something has gone very, very wrong.
Story number three.
Oh, Jacob DeGrom did it again, Big Bet Bennett.
Well, okay, so first off, I know that we're going to talk about the game. What happened in the dugout? Because I saw you tweeting about it.
I don't know, except DeGrom's kind of an intense guy, and it looked like he was telling a story to Max Scherzer, and he was really fired up about the story.
Yeah.
Like, it looked like...
He looked upset.
He looked mad.
Yeah.
And, like, he was... Like, imagine you just had a fight with somebody or an argument with somebody, and now you're telling somebody else about that argument, and you're a little worked up about it. So you're like, and then this MF for said, blah, 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 and you're pointing, and you're, and Max is just sort of sitting there nodding along. But DeGrom, he looks fired up. I don't know. I don't think we ever got the story on what DeGrom was actually talking about there. But he did look fired up in the dugout. This was yesterday. After, again, on Saturday night, he just had an absolutely unbelievable performance. He went six innings against the – Saturday was like a perfect day for me.
You did have a nice sports weekend, didn't you?
It's just Saturday. Like, Sunday was not the best day for me. I got delayed at Memphis International. Nobody's fault. I'm not blaming anybody. They're always so nice at the Delta Sky Club at Memphis. Those sweet people there. I walk in, and they're like, you're back again? You were like, you're here again. Like, I know all these people now. They're like a part of my family. The Delta Sky Club people in Memphis are the best. So I just hung out in the Delta Sky Club a little longer than I thought I was going to. Got delayed, so Sunday wasn't the best day. Got here late. Was gonna go to Rage Against the Machine and Run the Jewels last night at the Garden.
Oh man, why didn't you?
Didn't get here in time.
Dang it, that would have been a good one.
Yeah, Rage just did. That was the last show of a five sold-out nights at Madison
Square. I want to go so bad. I'm not going to be able to see him this time, though.
I was going to go, and I was going to go by myself. I don't know how many times I've been to a concert by myself. In fact, I don't think I've ever been to a concert by myself. But I was going to go, and then as I started getting delayed and delayed and delayed, I realized it's just not going to happen.
You know, Zach De La Roca is doing the show sitting down.
I know. That's
he
another thing.
He hurt his leg, yeah.
Yeah, like one of the first, like the second or third show of the tour, I think he broke a bone in his leg. It hasn't. I've Googled it a million times. It hasn't been reported exactly what he did, but he was jumping around the way he does, and like he finished that show sitting down, and now he has to perform sitting down.
Yep.
They literally carry him on stage,
mm-hmm.
like he's handicapped.
Yep.
And they carry him on stage and they set him down right in front of the crate. And then they start playing Rage Against the Machine songs and he's just sitting there. Now he's moving his healthy leg and he's into it. But it also struck me as like maybe not the same as Zach De La Roca all over the stage moving around like Rage Against the Machine. But I've had a bunch of friends because of people who work here in New York who have gone to, you know, one of the shows at the Garden, and they all said it's awesome. Like, yeah, he's sitting down.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's great. So Sunday wasn't great, but Saturday, really a perfect day. Got to we had a little baseball practice in the morning, and then a whole family, all five of us. We don't do that one a lot. We got all five of us out to the golf tournament. That was great. And then got home just in time for first pitch Mets-Phillies, and Jacob DeGrom did it again. Six innings pitch. Zero earned runs, only allowed two hits, struck out 10, walked nobody. And now on the season, he's only had three starts. He's 2-0, 1.62 ERA, 28 strikeouts. And check this out. I saw this on a Twitter account that I follow, Stats by Stats. This is Jacob DeGrom so far in the year 2022. He's faced 56 batters. He struck out 28 of them. Half of
Jeez.
Them. He's only allowed seven base runners. And here's the kicker. No other pitcher in the modern era of Major League Baseball has had a three-start span where he struck out at least half the batters he faced while having four times as many strikeouts as base runners. But that's what Jacob DeGrom has just done in his first three starts in over a year. I'm telling you, I watch this guy pitch every night since 2015. Every start I've watched. And he's won two Cy Young Awards. If he'd stayed healthy last year, he was about to win a third. And there's no denying right now in this moment, he's not going to win a Cy Young because he's not going to have enough innings. He's the best pitcher in baseball right now.
Yeah.
Just came back from injury. He's the most unhittable thing, in, as far as starting pitching goes, in Major League Baseball. Just completely overwhelming. He strikes out half the dudes he faces. That's outrageous behavior. But Jacob DeGrom is really at a high level right now, and that's why, you know, if you're a Mets fan and you watch Max Scherzer do what he did on Friday and then DeGrom go on Saturday – like, the Dodgers are the best team in baseball, but I'm not sure the Dodgers should be favored over the Mets if you get into a five-game series or a seven-game series, because the Mets are going to have DeGrom and Scherzer going in game one and right. game two. And did you see the news that just broke?
No.
Walker Buehler having season-ending surgery.
Ooh, so he's that's out. Big.
So the Mets just got their ace back.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.